Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I'm happy to be here today, excited about the show. We've had some exciting things to happen on our show, and we're coming up on our 1 year. March the 1st, we will be online 1 year, and it has been truly amazing. I want to play a song to give everyone a chance to come on board so we can start our show, and here we go. I hope everybody likes it.
In heart that Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, giving just enough for the city.
All right, everyone. We're going to say shalom, shalom to everyone. We thank you for being on the show today. I'm going to get my co-host on the line, Brother Adonai, and then we're going to go ahead and get started with the show. Shalom, shalom, Brother Adonai, are you there?
Shalom, shalom, I'm here. How you doing?
How you doing today? You don't sound too good. What's going on?
Well, I got a headache.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good. We got to get rid of that headache. My goodness. My goodness.
Yeah, I think it's cold, though.
I'm sorry?
I think it's cold, you know, when you get a headache.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of I feel kind of stuffy, you know, stuffy.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, we're going to have to do something about that. We don't want you to feel stuffy. I'm going to tell you a little trick for that works for me. And for everybody that's on the show, you know what happens when you get a cold? They say to take a couple drops of hydrogen peroxide, and drop it down in your ear. And it's because the cold and stuff start in your ear. And that'll knock anything that you have or anything that may be coming up on you.
Okay, you said peroxide?
Hydrogen peroxide. Just put about 3 or 4 drops in your ear. It's going to sizzle for a minute. It's going to sound kind of funny. You know, but it's going to get rid of all that stuff out of your ears, and then you should be feeling a little bit better.
Okay. Do I have to lay on my, lay on the side that I put the peroxide?
Absolutely.
So it'll come back
sir.
Out? Oh, okay.
Well, no, you just lay on it so it don't come out, and then when you get ready, give it about a minute or two, about maybe 3 minutes. Lay on there for 3 minutes, and then let it come out, and then do the other side.
Oh, okay. Appreciate it.
All right. So I was just going to, you know, this is going to be a little different show because for the last 2 weeks, we've had some very controversial issues. Some very controversial issues. So I just wanted to give us a chance to breathe and step back and kind of talk about what we did for the last couple of shows. And kind of feel like, kind of give a feel of where we are and how we feel about those things. Because I don't want to just keep piling one controversial issue on top of another controversial issue on top of another controversy. And I have some YouTube clips I want to play as well, you know, that are dealing with some other things. Because, Brother Donia, it's about to get bad out here.
Yeah, I believe you. I understand. It's going to get worse than we can ever imagine.
You know,
not in our wildest, could we imagine how rough it's going to be.
And you know what? What scares me is that we're so culturally divided. We're so knowledgeably divided that we're not really paying attention to the signs. And nobody's really taken to heart the necessary things that's going to be needed in order to prepare for what's coming on us.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. One sign is that the days are running right into one another. If you just notice, you understand, if you close your eyes, go to sleep and wake up, it's Wednesday already.
No, I know. And that, you know, it's just really, you know, I do a lot of research. I'm a researcher by hobby, and I love to research different things. And I think the thing that disturbs me the most is that some of us have this unnatural false security that Yah is going to feed us through the starvation periods that are coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sad, sad thing. You know, we just think that we ain't got to do nothing, that it's going to be a poof moment and we back in the land or everything going to be all right. And it's not going to be like that. If we don't do nothing, won't nothing be get done. You understand? You know, we got to put forth some effort in our own destiny. You understand? You know, we have the true and living creator on our side. But we got to do something to show the Almighty that we ready, that we want to do something. And he'll bless us in our endeavors. But if we don't do nothing just then, what can he bless?
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, and I don't want, you know, last week was so powerful. You know, last week after we had the radio show, you know, we had a conference call meeting and different people came on the conference call. And it was a powerful call. We established our date of May the 22nd through the 25th. that we're going to be in Atlanta, and we're going to have a put-together think tank about, you know, how to handle the issues that are going on, you know, with our nation, period. But to really think about it, you know, it's so difficult to maneuver. And I was telling somebody that today, what saddens me about our nation is that we're in a nation with a bunch of fake people.
Yeah.
And I have an issue with that, because we have to learn that if we're going to survive, we're going to have to survive together.
That is correct. You're absolutely right. You know, I brought certain things to the table, you understand, about us getting some of those buildings so that we could store stuff up. See, while we have the opportunity to do this, we ain't gonna have the opportunity too much longer, you understand, for us to put things together and start storing stuff up, you understand, so that we'll have way stations, so to speak. You understand, where a person can come by there and get him some grocery and some water, because everything on the planet needs water. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to have some things stored up. We don't have them things in place. You understand? What we going to do? I always try to figure out what we going to do. If we don't do that, what we going to do? Just, I mean, give me some kind of somebody else's idea as to what we going to do.
I don't know. We have quite a few people on the line. We're still waiting on some more people to come on. We have for those that are on the line, if you want to join this conversation, please push 1. We would love to have you on this conversation and dealing with this, because we're just going to take a break from all of the controversy. I mean, because with the situation with Israel and the things that we found out last week that were going on in Israel, and the people that came on the line from last week that was in Israel, you know, we've got to take a moment and back away from all of that. And you know, certain things have been put in motion. And I think that there, even the people that are over there have started to try to handle the situation and get the situation under control. I'm still waiting on updates from different people to call in and give me updates from the land to see exactly how they're living and whether anything has changed. You know, but for us as a nation as a whole, I mean, it's a mess everywhere.
Yeah. Well, the object, you know, see, if we get straight, all the other nations get straight. But, you know, we don't do nothing, you understand? We're going to always have this stuff. Everything's going to be helter-skelter all over the place, you understand? We supposed to bring righteousness unto the earth, you understand? And, you know, so we need to work on ourselves. We need to back away from all these differences of opinion and learn and understand that if we don't get together and start putting together some stuff, you understand, regardless of what your brother is doing down there, man, because you can't change his mind, you understand, but he going to need to eat, and you going to need to eat. So we need to work on those type of things. And I said that, see, everything on the earth needs water, but also we need toilet paper, too.
I mean, for real, I mean, there's a whole lot of things that we need. But, you know, what gets me is that we have these left-wing groups. We have these anti-government groups. We have these patriot groups. These people have been watching the trend of this nation for years. They have been preparing their families and educating their children and bringing to light knowledge on survival in the event that this goes into a catastrophic disaster. Now, even from that information that they have, they were nowhere near the impression of what is really happening now and the FEMA camps and the food shortage and the Homeland Security stocking up ammunition. And, I mean, it's just everything is catapulting into the brink of disaster. And our nation, you know, for those who are listening under the sound of my voice, we started this show out talking about relationships. When we first started the Yehuda Project, it was basically based around the relationship between the Hebrew man and the Hebrew woman. The phone lines was full. People were interacting. We were having conversations. when we start talking about love, relationship, and sex, the phone lines was full. Everybody had something to say. And it amazes me how when it comes to matters of life and death and survival, you might get one person to push one every once in a while.
Mm.
You know, and unfortunately, we're people that rely on the government.
Mm. Yep.
And they're telling us now that you have to start thinking outside the box. And if the government can no longer send Social Security checks, if they can no longer send disability checks, if they can no longer send a pension, can you survive?
Yep. And see, we're under a false illusion. You understand? They've made us get comfortable in by them taking care of us with these things, you know, Social Security, food stamps, welfare, you understand? They made us all feel comfortable, like they're going to do everything for us on a regular basis. But it's not going to work like that forever, you understand? It's on its way out. We under this false illusion that we going that they're going to do that forever, and they're not. It's not going to work, you understand? Because they haven't, look here, they sent all the jobs out of the country. So what are we living off, air? You understand? You need those jobs to pay to pay in the taxes, so the taxes people can afford us the Social Security check, the welfare check, and food stamps. You understand? But if they sent them jobs out of the country and we're not working nowhere, you understand? How are they going to pay into any of these programs? You understand? I'm trying to figure out myself, how is the government getting paid? How are them people in Congress who said they shut down the government, are they getting paid? Did they get paid? You understand? You know, I'm sure that when they wrote that Constitution up, it was that the government, that the Congress and all of these political offices, you understand, their programs would get shut down first. That's what I thought it was, you understand. But they figured it out. They went beyond the Constitution and they shut down everything to feed the masses. And they the only people that get paid. All of those politicians and activist groups, they get money. But when they shut down the government for the masses, we the ones that pay into the programs. We the ones that pay taxes. We the ones that it's not gonna go on very much longer. You understand? I don't know how long the Almighty gonna give us, but we got time, and we need to work on things, man. We can't waste no time. Hallelujah.
And, you know, I was talking about, I was talking to someone today about the 400-year prophecy. And when you look around, and I'm basically dealing with the Hebrew nation today, and I have invited several people on the line, and if you have received an invitation from me, please push one. We're dealing with analysts. I'm going to start inviting some analysts on the line. I'm going to invite some of the conspiracy theorist people on the line, and just to kind of, to shake a jolt in Israel. Because, you know, when you think about the 400-year prophecy, there's a lot of people in Israel that don't believe in the 400-year prophecy. Some people believe that it's already happened and it has not happened. We can't look forward to that. There are so many different prophecies out there that are the prophecy is given to direct us and to give us a direction. And it's an indicator as to when to move, so to speak. But so many different people have so many different interpretations of the prophecies that are in the book that it's really to the point now where that's one of the reasons why I don't deal with beliefs. I don't deal with beliefs because I'm a Messianic. I believe in Yahweh Shah HaMashiach. But there's a lot of people on this line that call every week that don't, they believe in Yah. You're one. You're a Torah only. You believe in Yah. So I try to approach the radio show from a standpoint of a Hebrew Israelite perspective, a nationality perspective, so that we can all bring our minds together, come up with a solution on as to how we will survive.
Yeah. Well,
that,
I believe
that's our main goal. Now, at some juncture, now this is reality, at some juncture, your beliefs are going to send you in a whole other direction, and my beliefs are going to send me in a direction depending on the way we interpret prophecy. That's the scary part. I was telling somebody today, even when you think about the Passover, if you didn't have that blood over your doorpost, your firstborn was dead.
That is correct. That is absolutely.
And that was a matter of choice. If you believe what the prophet said, and you was able to sacrifice that animal and not worry about losing that money from that animal, and use that blood to put it over the doorpost, your family was spared. And you didn't have but a moment to make the decision to put the blood over the doorpost and then go in the house and shut the door and begin to eat that last meal while you was going to be in Egypt. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are going to try to rationalize and practicalize the decisions that they make, and it may cost them their life.
That is correct. Well, you know, see, the unfortunately, you understand, is not going to be everybody that understands and what they're going to do. And the scriptures say that they will die, they'll die in their own iniquities. You understand? So if you're not, so it's only set up that it's going to be a few people. See, when the Almighty gives the opportunity for us to move, you understand, and it's going to be signs to let everybody know. It's not going to be everybody that's going to accept those signs. You understand? So we can't, you know, I mean, in as much as we want our forefathers, I mean, our fathers and our mothers and our brothers and sisters, you understand, if they're not going to move when it's time for us to move, they're going to perish in their own iniquities. You understand? So, I always believe that it's not going to be everybody, you understand, the ones that have the willing heart need to band themselves together and start doing some stuff. You understand what I'm saying? That's who need to be done. And now, one other thing here is that the Almighty said that we were supposed to be light unto the other nations. Operative word is other nations. You understand? There's going to be other nations. And we're going to be a light unto them. They're going to see that those folks who were on the bottom, which we are on the bottom, you understand, they're going to see how we rise up in this catastrophe. Hallelujah.
Yes, we are. And I'd like to open the floor up right now. If you have a question, a comment, you want to have something to say, please feel free to push 1. We are taking a moment and just talking among ourselves. This is a family talk today. This is one of them we having a meeting of the families today. We meeting with our family members so that we can have a real conversation today about the things that we need to do to address our issues and the things that we need to do to stay on board and make sure that we do what we need to do to prepare for what's coming. And the biggest thing is, you know, we've got to understand something. We are a nation. When we're starting to put together the nation of Yehuda, we are putting together a nation of people that would be willing to come together with their talent, their time, and their ability to be able to help our nation come together in the event of any kind of natural disaster, spiritual disaster, or domestic disaster. We need to learn. We need conservationists. We need people that have talents in communication. If the electrical grid goes down, how will we communicate with each other? We need electricians. We need people that have had survival techniques. These are the things that we need to start putting together, and we know that there are some people that are putting Department of Agriculture together, and all of that's fine. We don't knock that. You can grow your food as long as you can. But there's going to come a time when the soil, we may not be able to grow food. We've got to know how to survive indoors and outdoors.
That is correct.
We've got to know.
I'm in total agreement with you. One thing that I'm trying to, people don't like to hear, but when we came over here, we didn't know nothing about who we were. Everybody was helter-skelter, and they grabbed every understanding that they possibly could if we was going to stop that murder main and being murdering. Stop from being murdered and maimed. You understand? So I'm stuck on the fact that, you understand, even though we have all of these understandings and difference of opinion, you understand, we didn't know a darn thing about who we were. You understand? Whether we are Messianic or whether we are black Hebrew, black Africans or whatever. You know, we knew we were Africans, I'm sure. You understand? But we didn't know any kind of religious connection or spiritual connection. We just grabbed everything that was going to keep us from being chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered. You understand? So, you understand, we have an opportunity here to gather ourselves as a unit and as a nation so that we can get out of this mess that we're in. You understand? Or save us from being totally annihilated. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Again, if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push 1. I wanted to play a little clip for you because there's some things that I kind of came across today, and I just wanted you to hear some of the things that are going on. We're just going to play a short clip, and hold on one moment while we get this information.
The same man, both from President Obama. One speech that could have been billed as a ballad for the Constitution, a proclamation of American values, a repudiation of the lawless behavior of the last presidential administration, and another speech announcing a radical new claim of presidential power that is not afforded by the Constitution and that has never been attempted in American history, even by George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. Remarkably, President Obama today made both of those speeches simultaneously. Standing inside the National Archives in front of the actual original Constitution, President Obama delivered a blistering critique of the Bush administration in which he called their actions and their legacy literally a mess.
Our government made a series of hasty decisions. Poorly planned, haphazard approach. Too often, we set those principles aside as luxuries that we could no longer afford. Our government made decisions based on fear rather than foresight. The decisions that were made over the last 8 years established an ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism that was neither effective nor sustainable.
An ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism that was neither effective nor sustainable. Ouch. Then, moments later, he announced his own ad hoc legal approach for fighting terrorism. President Obama today proposed something new, something called prolonged detention. Doesn't sound that bad, right? Prolonged detention. Did you ever see the movie Minority Report? It was based on a Philip K. Dick short story. It came out in 2002. It starred Tom Cruise, remember? He played a police officer in something called the Department of Pre-Crime. Pre-crime is where people are arrested and incarcerated to prevent crimes that they have not yet committed.
Mr. Marks, by mandate of the District of Columbia Pre-Crime Division, I'm placing you under arrest for the future murder of Sarah Marks and Donald Dumanos. Take place today, April 22nd, at 0800 hours before midnight.
I didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything, but you're gonna. Future murder. Creepy, right? Putting somebody in jail, not for what they've done, but for what you're very sure they're going to do?
There may be a number of people who cannot be prosecuted for past crimes. In some cases, because evidence may be tainted. But who nonetheless pose a threat to the security of the United States.
We're not prosecuting them for past crimes, but we need to keep them in prison because of our expectation of their future crimes.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda terrorists and their affiliates are at war with the United States, and those that we capture, like other prisoners of war, must be prevented from attacking us again.
Prevented. We will incarcerate people preventively. Preventive incarceration. Indefinite detention without trial. That's what this is. That's what President Obama proposed today, if you strip away the euphemisms. One civil liberties advocate told the New York Times today, quote, "We've known this was on the horizon for many years, but we were able to hold it off with George Bush. The idea that we might find ourselves fighting with the Obama administration over these powers is really stunning." And it is stunning, particularly to hear President Obama claim the power to keep people in prison indefinitely with no charges against them, no conviction, no sentence, just imprisonment. It's particularly stunning to hear him make that claim in the middle of a speech that was all about the rule of law.
"But we must do so with an abiding confidence in the rule of law. Our government was defending positions that undermine the rule of law to ensure that they are in line with the rule of law."
How can a president speak the kind of poetry that President Obama does about the rule of law and call for the power to indefinitely, preventively imprison people because they might commit crimes in the future? How can those two things coexist in the same man, even in the same speech? Well, that brings us to the self-consciously awkward, embarrassing part of this speech today. After condemning the Bush administration for what he called their ad hoc legal strategy for trying to make things seem legal that patently weren't, this is what President Obama proposed.
"My administration has begun to reshape the standards that apply to ensure that they are in line with the rule of law. We must have clear, defensible, and lawful standards for those who fall into this category. We must have a thorough process of periodic review so that any prolonged detention is carefully evaluated and justified. Our goal is to construct a legitimate legal framework for the remaining Guantanamo detainees that cannot be transferred. Our goal is not to avoid a legitimate legal framework. In our constitutional system, prolonged detention should not be the decision of any one man. If and when we determine that the United States must hold individuals to keep them from carrying out an act of war, we will do so within a system that involves judicial and congressional oversight. And so going forward, my administration will work with Congress to develop an appropriate legal regime so that our efforts are consistent with our values and our Constitution."
You'll construct a legal regime to make indefinite detention legal. You will, what does he say? Develop an appropriate legal regime so you can construct a whole new system outside the courts, even outside the military commissions, so that you can indefinitely imprison people without charges, and you'll build that system from scratch. What's that somebody said about ad hoc legal strategies? Just for context here, in the United Kingdom, where there isn't even a Bill of Rights, there's been a major debate about whether people can be held in preventive detention. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair wanted 3 months to be the outer limit for how long anyone could be held. There was a big political fight about it. Parliament ended up limiting that power to 28 days. 28 days is still the longest period of preventive detention that's allowed under law in any comparable democracy anywhere in the world. How long would President Obama's proposed preventive indefinite detention last? But here's how he defines the threat that he says makes indefinite detention necessary.
"Right now in distant training camps in the crowded cities, there are people plotting to take American lives. That will be the case a year from now, 5 years from now, and in all probability, 10 years from now."
10 years from now.
What do you all think about that?
I think that's horrible. I think that's an atrocity. You understand? You can't just lock nobody up indefinitely. You understand? On the pretense that they might do a crime. Come on, what are they doing? And this coming from my boy too. And I liked that kid up until this moment. How can you do that? I just want to know. Where's his thinking coming from? You understand? He don't recognize that he was a slave here, or his peoples were taken from their country and brought here. You understand? And put to work indefinitely. You understand? That's how it happened with us. So what is he talking about? I don't understand where he coming from with that. You understand? But that's all the plan for them concentration camps too, because they gonna start doing those concentration camps before the total annihilation, in order to totally annihilate any kind of threat that they think they're going to have when they start cutting off them food stamps and them Social Security checks. They're going to start putting people in concentration camps indefinitely. That's the prelude. Hallelujah.
And you know what? You read it just like it is. That's the reason for these shows. That's the reason for the Yehuda Project. There's a lot of things that we could talk about on this show. There's a lot of guests that we can have on this show. We can have a lot of actors, movie stars, rappers, all kinds of people can come on the show if we were about folly. But this show is not about folly. This show is dedicated to the Hebrew Israelite family to bring us conscious of that it's time to start paying attention. It's time to start getting ourselves in order and preparing for both natural disasters, spiritual disasters, and domestic disasters. Because whether we like it or not, yes, we know Yah's coming, and yes, we know he's going to take care of the Hebrew Israelite people, but just like we're in a situation now, we have to do something in the meantime, in the between time. There are things that have to be put in place, and again, we're going to put the call out because we have quite a few people in the chat line as well as on the phone. We are looking for individuals who would be willing to come together, bring your talents and your skills together so that we can start giving information to our people as a nation on the necessary things to have in the event of a disaster, survival kits, what kind of food to store up, how to store up water. We just need to start educating our people because this is moving pretty fast to the point where they have a FEMA camp in every It's in every state.
That is correct.
And yep. They are stockpiling. They said the Homeland Security is stockpiling ammunition. They have bought millions and millions of rounds of ammunition. They just called for, I think FEMA has just called for 420 million pieces of food, I guess what they call them, emergency food kits.
Rations.
So they're expecting for something to happen. We've got to understand the dollar is already dead.
Yeah.
Already.
Yep. That is correct. You know, we're in big trouble. If we don't do nothing, then we expect them to do anything to us. See, we have the true and living, the Almighty, the King of the universe on our side. You understand? We know for sure, even the ones that don't know, they're the ones that surmise that are black, the people of the diaspora, you understand? They know that there's somebody been taking care of us because we still here. You understand? So we know that if we, see, we have only but to do something to show the Creator that we want that it's all right for him to come and take care of us and help us and guide us and put us in the right direction. You understand? But see, we have to do something. We got to start moving towards doing something. He gonna bless our hand in our endeavors. You understand? And show favor to it. You understand? But if we don't do nothing, I'm telling you, man, what we do is we contributing to our own demise if we don't do nothing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So our job is never to entertain. We're not here to entertain. We don't pay this money every month to entertain. We pay this money every month to educate. We're trying to be obedient to what the Most High has given us to do so that we can educate, prepare. We don't compete with anybody or any one group or any organization because our job is to educate you because at the end of the day, when those sirens go off, and the sky turned black, and we have an emergency crisis, and people are looting grocery stores. And if you don't think it happened, it can happen. Just look at what happened at Katrina. They were not expecting it to be as bad as it was. Everybody took it for granted, and they ended up being in a situation that they never thought they would be in.
Yeah.
They never thought they would be in a situation like that. So we're not here to compete. We're not here to rule over. We're not here to do anything. We are just trying to give you information to prepare you because the reason for the breakdown, and we know the reason for the breakdown, is because the Most High is on his way.
That is
he
correct.
He's on his way. So we know the reason for the breakdown. Now, their interpretation of what it is and our interpretation of what it is two totally different things. But when it comes to a threat to America, they already have us labeled as a threat.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. And don't think that your money going to save you.
It's not going to be worth anything to save them. It's not going to be worth anything. They have a strategic plan where they are going to pull the money eventually off the market. It's already, our countries are already meeting. There was a big meeting in the Asiatic countries where they came together and decided they did not want to do business with the American dollar anymore, and that they're already starting to put together different currencies and things like that. They're stockpiling gold.
Mm. Yeah.
Because they know the dollar is not worth anything. When the dollar collapses, the game is going to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that I'm finding out also, you understand, and gold might be a good thing to gather, but I don't think that's going to be worth a damn either. I think that food is going to be our major concern. You understand?
Yeah,
food.
And you guess, even with the food, you got to know how to package it up. Because
that
even
is
if
correct.
You have it, I mean,
in saying that, I mean, we got to have some people that know what they're doing when it comes to the agriculture. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's going to be our major concern. And now, I know that if we make an effort to do something like that, the Almighty will show us and send us somebody, you understand, that knows what he's doing, or he or she, you understand, that know what they're doing, you understand? But if we don't do nothing, we're contributing to our own demise. We saying it's all right. Anything you want to us, you understand? I'm not happy with that decision.
And guess what? Grandma, back in the day, used to can all her food and put her food up and can her food so that she would have it and it would last. It's one thing to be able to have agriculture and be able to dig the food up out of the ground, but guess what? That's fresh food, and you have to eat it within a certain period or it's going to go bad. Not only do we have to know how to do that, but we have to know how to store and stock the food in containers to the point where they will last in the event something happens. Now, we're a little late and behind the game because some people already have been doing this for years.
That is correct. That is correct. See, one other thing here, too, is that I don't think that the Almighty going to leave us in the middle of the road. You understand? But I know that he will, for those that have the willing heart to do what they're supposed to do, you understand, in preserving and trying to sustain our living, you understand, he going to find a way, and he will let us know how. The Almighty is going to put a way in between all of this controversy and all of this mess, you understand? But we got to do something, you understand? All throughout the scriptures, man, whether you're messianic or you're a black nationalist, man, there was somebody that the Almighty rose up, you understand, to show us how to get out this mess, you understand? And I was just looking at the History Channel, and the History Channel got these prophets, white prophets, that's prophesizing when this earth is gonna fall, when we gonna have this big catastrophe. You understand? But we know that those prophets are black. They all been black. You understand? They made all the decisions and Almighty came to them and showed them things that will happen. See, these guys have a different concept. Those Europeans have a different concept entirely. You understand? So we can't go with that. We know for a fact that we can't go with their thinking at all. We have to do what we can do, you understand, to save our nation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And again, we want you to know, we want this as an open conversation. We probably still have people from Israel in the chat line. And if you want to make a comment, just please push 1. We want to hear what you have to say, because now it's about survival. It is about survival. And it's going to start with us first here in America, and then it's going to be spread abroad. So, I mean, it's like some people's solution is to leave the country. And then my thoughts is, how does the people out there feel about that? Because some people have been convinced that the best way to avoid it is to leave and go somewhere else. What do you all feel about that? Please push one. We want to hear from you. Brother Donnie, go ahead.
I don't have my solution. If we don't unite, you understand, our thing is we're going to perish. You understand? Ezekiel talks about the dry bones. You understand? And the emphasis that I put is on dry bones. If they don't do nothing, you understand? If the bones don't wake up, you understand, they become dust. And that's where we at now. If we don't wake up, we become dust of the earth. And a strong wind blows that dust all over the place. You understand? So we'll never become a nation any again. So this is one of the things why I'm saying that I want to be part of the restoration of our people. You understand? So that we will be here after when the dust clears. I want to still be here, me and my family, my kids, my generation. You understand? That's why I'm involved here, because I want my children to have something. You understand? A place to go. You understand? I don't want them to be wandering around or be killed or be misused or abused and stuffed all into them camps. You understand? Because if we don't do nothing, it's going to be on our next generation. And if our next generation, and it's going to be hell for our next generation, because they're going to be trying to work a plan from the concentration camp.
Mm-mm. Well, we got air code 314. Go ahead. You on the air.
How y'all doing?
Doing pretty good. Shalom. How you doing?
I just got you a plan right there in the chat room. Flights leaving out of the United States to Israel, the cheapest I ever seen. $700 round trip.
Okay,
wow.
Well, we thank you so much for that information. And obviously, the brother wasn't on the show for the last 2 weeks because Israel ain't the place we want to go either. Not at this point anyway. So, I mean, you know, those are issues that we have to deal with in terms of people that are able to come on the show and to understand, you know, where we are. Because a lot of people come on here to cause distractions. And believe me, I have my cursor at the mark ready to disconnect anybody that comes on the show with things that are meant to be derogatory. So we know, you know, evidently the brother hasn't been on the show in the last couple of weeks, or he would have realized that Israel is not the place where we're trying to go right now.
Yeah. Well, Israel, you know, I don't want to speak too much about Israel, you understand, because they got so many things going on in Israel, you understand. We thought that was a safe haven, and come to find out it ain't all what it's cracked up to be, you understand. I was on the Powell Talk. You understand, and they have a Sabbath day program, and the brother's on there talking about how, you understand. I mean, he, you know, to me, he sounded like he was trying to talk lightly about those things that had happened in Israel, but those were atrocities, and it's felt throughout Israel. You understand? People look at that place or look at us, if we call ourselves an Israelite, they say, oh, you belong to that cult? You understand? So, you know, and then see, that's another thing, too, is that those folks over there, man, we don't run nothing, man. The Almighty going to clean that up, too. You understand?
Yeah.
You got to go to the scriptures and you'll see in Isaiah, you understand, the 24th chapter 1 through 23, or it's 1 through 24, or it's 20, anyway, it's in Isaiah how the Almighty going to destroy all of that. He's going to mess all of that up. We can't have these people on earth anymore to be a snare unto us, so that we can look and say, oh, they got that, all that going on, maybe we need to get with them. See, that's our problem here. You understand? We have to have... We have to be under our own governance. You understand? Those things that happened in Israel, if we was under our own governance, the first time it would happen, and it would not have happened for 10 more years, or they would not have happened on a continual basis, because those things, they happened, nobody did nothing about it, and it exploded. That was a tragedy, you understand? And we cannot look at that, and we cannot sweep that under the rug, you understand? Those guys need to be punished, you understand, so that we can at least give the appearance that we are doing something and trying to hold down our understanding of the scriptures. You understand? So it's a real tragedy, man, from my point of view.
And I think the hardest part is that people don't listen. People do not want to listen. They come on, they think about it. And maybe they are listening. Maybe they just, you know, maybe they're just to the point where they've been burned so many times that they just don't feel comfortable with joining any one organization or doing anything. And maybe they're independently preparing for their own families, and that's fine too. I mean, you know, all we say is prepare, 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 because the government has made it very clear that they're not going to be able to help us. They're not going to be able to have anything to provide for us. Something's coming to the point where they have FEMA camps all over this country. Something's coming to the point where they're preparing for civil unrest. And something is about to happen in this nation that they have military troops that are both American and other military troops from other countries training on American soil to be able to contain the people from civil unrest and problems that are going to happen as a result of that. So our goal is, and we know that these things have to happen, because the closer we get to those that believe in the 400-year prophecy, the closer we get to that day, the more things are just going to begin to unravel. But in the meantime, don't we have a responsibility to ourselves, to our families, to our family members that are conscious and unconscious, to at least prepare? Because our families are not always prepared and know what to do, and they really don't care one way or the other. They think we're crazy. So don't we have a responsibility to prepare and to let you know to prepare?
That is correct. You know what? They put them camps, concentration camps, and all of these people that's being trained, they blatantly doing that right in front of your face. You know why? Because we can't do a darn thing about it. You understand? One thing that I know that we can do is prepare ourselves and trust in the Almighty. We don't do that, you understand? We are allowing them to do anything that they want to us. Let's get that in our head. If we don't do nothing, you understand, we are contributing to our own demise. You understand? We saying that it's all right, go ahead and do what you're going to do. I'm telling you, you understand? You know, and it's a sad state of affairs if we just going to lay down. Come on.
And unfortunately, a lot of people feel like that's all we have. And if you're not talking about smut, and if you're not talking about gossip, and if you're not talking about the latest events, people really don't want to participate. We're having our conference call today to confirm some things today about our trip to Atlanta, our think tank we're putting together for to Atlanta, because at least, if nothing else, we can gather emails. And we can start sending emails out to the Hebrew Israelites about survival kits, you know, how to purify water, you know, how to stock up water. I mean, really, to the point where we get these people prepared for whatever's getting ready to happen. Now, the concentration camps, I don't even have a clue as to what the Most High is going to do to prevent us from being there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, because anytime they're building concentration camps and they have mass caskets, And they're putting systems together to identify you by color and color coding you, there's really something else going on here that we really need to pay attention to.
Yeah, well.
And how do you avoid, you know, to the point where if you go to the government and you need assistance, or they have completely cut you off from assistance, will you be able to feed your family? Do you have enough stuff stored up and stocked up to the point where you'll be able to feed your family for 90 days?
That is correct. Well, you know what? When you stock up groceries, You understand? You stock it up for maybe 90 days if you do. You understand? That food goes faster then because you get more hungry when you ain't got nothing than when you do.
That's true. That's true.
You understand? You're going to be snacking in between and all of that stuff. So in 90 days, that stuff might go in 50.
And you know what? My heater went out when it was really cold outside. It went out for about a day. And it wasn't even a whole day. It was about maybe, last night it went out. And then we were able to get it back on maybe around 10 or 11 o'clock that afternoon. But it was so cold in my house. And I'm like, if the electric grid goes down and we're not able to run heat, do we have generators? Do we have portable heaters? I mean, how do we survive?
That is correct. Yes,
and that's why
that was my reason. That was our reason why we should get some of them old, them 50 schools, you understand, that they closed down, you understand. We could store our stuff up in there, man, you understand. And buy heaters. They got a heater on, they got a generator. You understand?
Yeah.
That we could use, you understand, to plug in to run heaters and et cetera. And of course, I think it costs $99. This is a small one. It's not no big one, you understand? But if we get a bunch of those, you understand, for $99, you understand, we could run some stuff, you understand, run some heaters and et cetera, man. If it don't heat but one room, that's fine.
But, Brother Donia, you're thinking from a nation standpoint. I think we need to start thinking individual families, because most people are not going to come to a location. When martial law takes place and you have to show reason why you're moving and why you're going from one community to the next, you're not going to be able to just decide, I'm going down to Joe Street so I can go in that building to get me something to eat. They're going to want to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. So I think we should more or less deal with individual families and tell everyone how to get their individual families prepared. And then for the people who don't, I don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? Because those are the people I believe that they're going to start collecting up and putting in the camps. And, you know, and then you're going to be issued an ultimatum. I mean, really.
Well, you know,
because
one thing
that... Because for those people who just don't pay attention, we can't save them if they don't pay attention.
Yeah, I live in a senior citizen community. And I know that all they have to do is run some gas through these lines in here, and they kill up at least 300 people in this building. You understand?
Yeah.
So I know that these things, man, are in existence, and they're going to kill up as many folks because them concentration camps is not going to contain everybody. So a lot of us is going to perish. You understand? My suggestion here is I'm looking for me a good gas mask. Maybe I'll sustain my living for a little while longer. You understand? But I don't know what we're going to do individually, because individually, you understand, we stuck on stupid here.
We are, and I want to play another clip for you. Just want you to listen real quick at a couple more while we can just discuss so I can show you where we are. Here we go.
Entire focus for the Department of Homeland Security has been doing. I was passed by an Oklahoma City police officer vehicle. They slowed down, got in behind me, followed me for about 3 miles, and then pulled me over. When the officers approached my vehicle, they asked me if I knew why I was being pulled over, and I said, no, I had no idea. And they said, it's because of the sign in the back of your truck. And I said, my sign that says abort Obama, not the unborn? And the officers said, yes, that's why. Later that afternoon, I got a call from the Secret Service. They wanted to do a quick walkthrough of my house to make sure I wasn't some kind of radical racist.
Why would Americans, under the guise and the threat of worldwide terrorism, why would they willingly give up or relinquish their rights to government when our rights did not come from government in the first place? Our rights merely came from God. They were enumerated by the government, put in the Bill of Rights as a reminder, not to us, but those in power, as to not violate them.
I know the history of government, not just American government, but the history of government well enough to know that most governments acquire power and they do not like dissent. We are losing our freedoms in the United States. Most Americans do not realize that we have free speech zones in the United States. I mean, talk about an oxymoron. You know, all of the 50 states are a free speech zone. You're an American. That, by definition, creates a free speech zone. We have freedom of speech because we stand up and say what we think, not because the Founding Fathers ratified the First Amendment in 1791. So if we're losing the free speech zones, the governments in general throughout history have tried to quell dissent by controlling the media, which we already have in this country, and by generating fear of confrontation. After Seattle, the feds said, we can't allow protests anymore in America. It's too dangerous. That's why we're going to have free speech zones miles away from where the events are, in baseball fields, in church parking lots, where nobody can see you or hear you. You've got your First Amendment, but you've got it way over here miles away. That all started as a beta test in Seattle in 99 with the police, after they'd staged the riots, with hired anarchists, coming up to people saying nowhere in the city could they even wear a pin saying no WTO. And the police say, hey, First Amendment is suspended in Seattle, and the news pushed it like it was a good idea and the right thing to do.
The lines are open. This is First Word, ladies and gentlemen.
So what do you think about that?
I think that they don't care. They don't care what you got. They don't care nothing about any individual. You know, they already set up certain things that they're going to put in place, and they're going to move on it in a little while. So we're in big trouble here. You understand? I'm so, you know, I just, you know, I trust in the Almighty that he's going to gather us, you understand, or allow us to gather ourselves. But I'm not sure, you understand, what we can do. I'm just a laborer in this situation. I'll sweep the floor. I'll do anything. I'll do the shoveling. You understand? You know, and I'll help to keep the food. But I don't know what we're gonna do. You understand? It's just it's a oxymoron. Damned if you do, and damned if you don't.
Yeah, real talk. I mean, this is some serious business. And like I said, our job is just to bring this information to you so you don't get comfortable. Because we're not going to let you get comfortable, because this is getting to the point where we have to know what's going on, because it's just like the church. Everybody sits around in church and says, oh, Jesus is coming to get us. And it's like, yeah, but you're losing your house. Oh, Jesus is coming to get us. Yeah, but you don't have no food in your refrigerator. Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you got some issues because you don't have a job. And most of the churches are going into foreclosure because Jesus was coming to get them. And it's like, no, you have a responsibility to prepare for yourself in the event that certain things take place so that you know how to conduct and know how to feed your family. Because you still got to feed them babies, and those babies still got to eat.
That is correct. That is our responsibility. You understand? You know, and you know, like I said, we became so complacent with the government taking care of us and doing for us, you understand, those things was in place. Boy, once they start snatching them things, you understand, they took $14 out my little bit of food stamps. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm trying
I
to
know that's
out.
Right. I know that's right. And everybody can sit back and laugh. You know, it's more people on food stamps now than ever have been. People that have been working their whole life and have had jobs and need, because there's no jobs.
That is correct. And you know what's so ironic, you understand? They talking about the people on unemployment. Been on unemployment for a while. They cut their things so they couldn't get 26 more weeks of what's the name, because they cut those things, and their rationale is they need to find a job. And there ain't no jobs. How could they do that? They send all the jobs overseas, and then they tell them about them people need to get jobs. Come on. You know, who they think they talking to?
Mm-hmm. Now check this out. Check it out. Here we go. Listen to this.
said, we can't allow protests anymore in America. It's too dangerous. That's why we're going to have free speech zones miles away from where the events are, in baseball fields, in church parking lots, where nobody can see you or hear you. You've got your First Amendment, but you've got it way over here miles away. That all started as a beta test in Seattle in 99 with the police, after they'd staged the riots, with hired anarchists coming up to people saying nowhere in the city could they even wear a pin saying no WTO. And the police say, hey, First Amendment is suspended in Seattle, and the news pushed it like it was a good idea and the right thing to do.
This is word,
ladies. Installations in the giant prisons and establishing civilian inmate labor programs. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
This is on army.mil. If they want to look it up,
okay.
It came out 2005.
Another conspiracy theory.
This is on the Army's website,
yeah.
Sir.
All right, so rather than being in prison, right, they're going to have prison.
Well, I don't know, but, I mean, obviously there's a document that has established.
Yeah, there are lots of documents in lots of places.
But this is on the military's on website.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Army.mil.
Okay. I'm an army.mil. Says the link's broken. There's no such army.mil. Can you get to army? I can't get to army.mil.
Army Regulation 210-35. Now, this was set up in 1986 secretly. And for 10-plus years, it was secret. And in 1997, Bill Clinton declassified this, and we were the first major radio show to cover it. Since then, it's been expanded. This lists 12 camps to hold American citizens that have been built by the United States Army. And ladies and gentlemen, some of these facilities have U.S. citizens in them now. But it's all being done administratively. To beta test the Army-running camps, they did deals with the federal government and now states to take prisoners convicted in the civilian courts and to then stick them on U.S. military bases administered by the Bureau of Prisons, but operated by the U.S. Army. So, see, they're taking state and federal prisoners and sticking them under Army control and building these civilian inmate labor camps all under Rex 84 right out in the open, and no media will ever touch this.
Well, you know what they're doing, right? They're taking and turning the prisoners into taking and turning the prisoners into military staff.
Yep.
That's basically what they're doing.
They're using all the resources that they possibly can because we don't have no power. We're not gonna do nothing if we had some power.
Now check this out. Here we go. Check it out. Here we go.
Nation, an active unit inside the United States.
Under NORTHCOM and under the new Homeland Brigade, it was first going to be 3,000, and then 20,000, and then 40,000.
The 3rd Infantry Division's 1st Brigade Combat Team has spent 35 of the last 60 months in Iraq.
Combat hardened troops who've been running camps and centers in Iraq are now coming back to the United States to, quote, carry out law enforcement actions.
The Army unit may be called upon to help with civil unrest and crowd control.
There has been some concern and some misimpressions that I'd like to correct. The primary purpose of this force is to provide help to people in need in the aftermath of a WMD-like event in the homeland. This force has got no role in civil disturbance or civil unrest, any of those kinds of things.
The Army Times reporting, quote, they may be called upon to help with civil unrest and crowd control or to deal with potentially horrific scenarios, end quote.
NORTHCOM, the Northern Command that came into being in October of 2002, when that came in, people like me were concerned that the Pentagon was going to use its forces here in the United States, and now it looks like, in fact, it is, even though on its website it says it doesn't have units of its own. Now it's getting a unit of its own.
And the Army Times said, during civil unrest inside the United States, that the Army's new job would be engaging the American people.
The Posse Comitatus Act of 1878 generally prohibits federal uniformed services from carrying out domestic law enforcement duties, except in cases expressly authorized by the Constitution or an act of Congress.
All right, now check that out. So civil unrest. So what do you think is going to happen when they turn off the food stamps and they turn off the Social Security check and they turn off all of the things that we have been used to getting? What do you think people are going to do? They're going to take to the streets.
That is correct.
Start looting because they're hungry. They're going to start robbing because they need medicine for their children. They're going to start doing all these things when you can no longer operate like you used to operate it. What do you think people are going to do? And then what are they going to do? They're going to, in turn, have people, military staff, which is nothing but martial law. It's dressed up martial law. They just dressed it up in the way they defined it. Martial law is going to come on the scene to make sure that you have some place to be. And if you prove to be unruly or you prove to be a threat, guess where you going?
In one of those caskets. Or you going? They're gonna take you to one of them camps.
And then Obama's defense, they can potentially hold you as long as they want to.
Exactly. Indefinite.
Crucial. I mean, you know, we gotta prepare. That's all I'm saying. You know, I really hope that the Most High will fix it to the point where we can skip this part and we don't have to go through this part. I truly hope that if there is a problem and we have to go through this, that he will mysteriously prepare food for us and that we will have something to eat all the time. But in past instances, in past examples, when we were about to go through something horrific, a lot of us perished.
That is correct. All of us didn't come out of Egypt.
No, I certainly not. Now let's check it out.
To be picked up and incarcerated indefinitely without charges and allows law.
Now he's reading the U.S. Patriot Act, everybody. Hold on, I'm going to go back a little bit so we can get it a little bit.
Officials who have not forgotten who they serve, but only now reveal to the American people through the fruit of their own actions that our rights and our freedoms are secondary. The USA Patriot Act allows for American citizens to be picked up and incarcerated indefinitely without charges and allows law enforcement to conduct warrantless and secret searches of Americans' property and possessions. The Military Commissions Act dissolved the cornerstone of our Constitution by removing the writ of habeas corpus, allowing the permanent imprisonment of enemy combatants and disallowing petitions to the court to know why you've been locked up in the first place. Although never passed by the Senate, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act shows us the mindset of our leaders in Washington. If passed into law, the bill would make public demonstrations and protesting into an act of terrorism.
Did you hear that? So guess what? All our brothers on the street corner, that's the National Rationalization Act, which they are trying to pass into law. And all our brothers on the street corner that's preaching, all of our camps that we got all over the street corner that's preaching, they're going to lock them up. They're locking them up.
Yeah, it's going to be a terrible thing, man. I tell you, it's going to be something that we never could have imagined. That's how tragic this is going to be.
You know what I'm saying? And they have things in place right now that's planning to lock them up. Now, we're going to see who this is. Area code 321. I'm going to open you up. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello, area code 321. Well, I guess they don't really want to talk, so we'll put them back on hold for a moment. I mean, you know, they got all kind of things, and let me play that again for those who didn't hear exactly what's going on, because this is serious business. Here we go. Listen very closely, everybody.
To be picked up and incarcerated indefinitely without charges and allows law enforcement to conduct warrantless and secret searches of Americans' property and possessions. The Military Commissions Act dissolved the cornerstone of our Constitution by removing the writ of habeas corpus, allowing the permanent imprisonment of enemy combatants, and disallowing petitions to the court to know why you've been locked up in the first place. Although never passed by the Senate, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act shows us the mindset of our leaders in Washington. If passed into law, the bill would make public demonstrations and protesting into an act of terrorism and label the organizers as thought criminals and potential homegrown terrorists. Now that the federal government has the authority to sneak, snatch, and lock up its own citizens, a new bill has been introduced by Congress that gives the feds a place to hold those outspoken dissenters and potential domestic terrorists. The National Emergency Centers Establishment Act, or H.R. 645, allocates military bases to be converted into FEMA emergency centers. It also mandates that these camps be built complete with public works, medical, and educational facilities, just like the Japanese internment camps of the 1940s.
Why is the media on one hand saying there are no FEMA camps, but on the other hand, legislation has been introduced to build them?
H.R. 645, titled the National Emergency Centers Act, directs the Secretary of Homeland Security to establish national emergency centers throughout the United States.
It's all being done for your own good.
The bill directs these camps to be built in existing military installations, whether operational or not, for the stated purpose of providing temporary housing and to meet other appropriate needs as determined by the Secretary of Homeland Defense.
Here's H.R. 645 legalizing what has already been developed, what's already been paid for by FEMA, and that is these FEMA camps for everybody's safety, these FEMA camps for everybody's comfort, these FEMA camps that the people need during emergencies.
The government doesn't build things that are not needed or that there aren't contingency plans that say there's a reason for them.
Also, it's been reported by WorldNet Daily that the Department of Homeland Security has already awarded nearly a $400 million contract to Halliburton to build some temporary detention centers on an as-needed basis.
We know this is their main attack profile, is old, shut-down bases. And so you go point them out and go, look, the barbed wire is facing in, or look, you know, this is a designated FEMA camp. And they say, well, where are the people? Where are the people in the camp? The point is, it's a designated facility for that.
Conceivably, these are the kinds of camps that could be used for political dissidents, just like occurred in Nazi Germany.
I got a feeling in the next few years that you may start to see some American citizens end up in these camps for questioning the government.
The president can declare a national emergency, and it can be anything. It can be a hurricane, or it can be political protests or civil disorders like we saw in the race riots. I think the government's anticipating that there's going to be a increased reaction against the economic downturn, and this could lead to the kinds of street riots and protests we've seen in countries such as France.
If we do not have a government which is controlled and limited by the Constitution, then our personal motives and preferences are irrelevant.
Did you hear what I said?
Ooh.
That's crucial.
You know what they said? They said that they was not going to take no petitions to ask them why am I being locked up. That's
right.
Being disavowed. Man,
that's
man,
cool.
Man. Yeah, it is.
They putting you on military camp, the military installation to let you know we're going to make sure without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to do what we tell you to do. We're going to conform you to our way of thinking. If you can't seem to manage your own and keep your mouth shut, we're going to conform you to our way of thinking, because and that's what the white folks been hollering about all along, is the government taking over. They taking away our rights. And
yep.
Basically, that's what they've been saying all along.
Yep. That's right.
Look, it's,
yeah. See, it's not just hitting us. It's hitting them poor white folks. You understand this a little bit more than we do. You understand? We think that there's going to be a pie in the sky, a hand out the sky is going to come and save us. I think we're sadly mistaken here. You understand? Because we, you know, one thing that is, if we don't do nothing, we don't make no way for ourselves, You understand? We gonna perish. We gonna turn to dust. You understand? It's a sad day.
Yes, indeed. You know, and we don't, and like I said, I don't ever want you to get comfortable. I don't ever want you to call this show and we talking about foolishness, because that's not what this is about. I don't ever want you to get comfortable to the point where you don't stay on edge. Because guess what? We need to always be watchful. We're supposed to be watchmen anyway. We're supposed to be watchful. And we're supposed to always be prepared in the event of whatever happens. So we're never going to pay for this show and have Stevie Wonder on the show singing "Isn't It Lovely?" Because it's not lovely. It's serious now.
That is correct.
And every chance we get, we're going to bring issues to the table to let you know it's time, black people, it's time to stop. It's time to start paying attention.
That is correct. If we don't do nothing, you understand, for our own self, we need to take our destiny in our own hands and try to do something here. You understand? This is not no fabrication. This stuff is. This is not no scientific fantasy. I mean, you know, this is not no fantasy. This is real. This is going to happen. This is happening now as we speak. You understand? They got them. I didn't see those caskets that they had. They got built, but the governor general, what's his name? Venturi. He had a show on TV, and he went to the place where they had them, and they sleep three deep, and there was a field full of them. You understand? I'm talking about full of them, man. They was about 10, stacked 10 high. Hey, man, ooh-wee. You understand?
Now,
this is real.
Now,
this is,
you know, and it's like, no, we ain't going to never forget that, because now you're talking about something else. You're talking about detaining United States citizens that are supposed to be free enough to move around as we please. And the First Amendment right is a part of the Constitution that evidently we won't have anymore. And if you speak out against anything, there's a possibility you will be detained and sent to one of these concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that means blog talk radio shows, pal talk shows, pre-conference calls, anything that speaks out against the government, and eventually it will be to the point where you will be confiscated and taken it somewhere and no longer seen from, heard from again.
Mm. Yeah, it's a sad day, boy. I'm telling you. Unbelievable. You understand?
And who would have ever thought we would see this in our lifetime?
Yeah, how could you possibly do that to people? To people? Because they don't care. If they cared, they wouldn't do it. But they don't care. And I know one thing here is that they have no concept of no creator, period.
No, absolutely not. And like I said, we want to hear from you. Please push 1. If you have something you want to say, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. If nothing else, let me get area code 321 back on the line. Area code 321, go ahead. You're on the air. Hello? Your mic is open, 321-327. I'm going to put you back on mute. I guess I don't know what's going on with their phone, but we're going to keep on going. So we know we heard about the National Emergency Center Act. That's House Resolution 645. I mean, this stuff's been in existence for years, and you know, we see it pop up, and it's starting to manifest itself, and everybody's like, what's going on? You know, but at the end of the day, like I said, we have got to start coming together, preparing for our survival. We've got to come together and pray. And I know they were talking about getting a group together or advertising to the black community about going down to Jamestown in 2019, because that marks the 400-year of this captivity. You know, all of that's good, and we can do all those things, but it depends on the situation that we in and whether or not people are going to be able to travel.
That is correct. They had, you know, I was on 20 going down to the International Day of Remembrance, and they had certain exits blocked where you couldn't go back on them exits. You understand? So, I don't know what that was all about, you understand, but I know that we were not able to turn, if you had to turn around, you couldn't, you understand.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, we got another one again. Here we go. Eric Cole, 321, go ahead, you're on the air. Hello? We'll give you a minute to get your phone off mute, and then if not, we're going to put you back on mute. But I want to play this just a little while longer. I want you to hear it. Now, remember, House Resolution Bill, 645 is the FEMA camp, and it's going to be on military installation. So check it out. We're going to do a little more. Here we go.
You know, it doesn't matter if you have freedom of speech if you're in a, you know, FEMA concentration camp. It doesn't matter. You know, you're certainly not going to be allowed to have a gun inside a concentration camp. And, you know, all of our rights are predicated on a free America. And if we don't have a free America, all the other questions become moot.
Don't these companies have a responsibility morally? If they're in there building camps and building shackles and building barbed wire, facing in to speak out and say this is unconstitutional in the United States? Well, of course they do, but Kellogg Brown and Root was connected to some of the contracting that went on at Camp X-Ray, Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. So this is their business.
I talked to the Department of Homeland Security spokespeople, and they affirmed the contract with this KBR, the former Halliburton company, was in place. The Department of Homeland Security was ready to build these contingency as needed detention centers anywhere in the country in the event of any kind of a national emergency, including natural disasters or, again, riots or protests.
What you said?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a horrible thing, man. You know, they got us. You understand? And we, you know, it's just a sad thing because they got us, boy. There's nothing that we can do about it. Not a thing. You understand?
Well,
I mean, you know, I would think that
we
could.
Our coming, ain't that something we supposed to rejoice about?
Yeah, I know that's right. Yeah. Ooh wee. It's just a sad, sad thing, man, that we sitting back on and not trying to even figure out how we're going to do this. We need to come together, like I said, man. Let's just talk about it. Man, we might come up with the solution. You understand?
Well,
for
I tell
our,
you what, all of those who are interested in being on the conference call tonight, the conference call tonight will be directly after the show at 6:30. And it is, you can definitely, you feel more than welcome to call into our conference line. We would love to have you on there. I will announce the conference number before we hang up from here so that everybody will know what the number is, and we'll give you all the information that you need so that you can come on the line and offer some suggestions. Because we want suggestions. We don't have all the answers. We just know that we're on the timeline. And we were given that timeline in Genesis chapter 15, and we know that that timeline is going to produce some horrific times. Like they said, it's going to be times that have never been in humanity and in the history of humanity, and it's going to be terrible times. But it does say Israel will be saved out of it. So, you know, we're just trying to give everybody a chance to be able to come together and bring some of your expertise together, some subject matter experts. We need some subject matter experts to come on the scene to be able to tell us what to do. You know, like I said, how to store food properly, how to be able to store water properly, you know, and have all the things that we need. If you have a garden, some people have in-house gardens. You don't have to grow them outside. You can grow food on the inside. As long as you got some dirt, you can grow food. I mean, you know, dirt and light, and you can make it happen. So we need to start bringing these skills together so that we can understand. And the conference call is area code 559-726-1300. And the PIN number is 765-506. This will be the night at 6:30. Please feel free to call so we can talk about these things. And I want to give you a little bit more information about this. Here we go.
Think someone might commit a crime doesn't mean that they have done anything and does not mean that you have the right to punish them for what you think they are going to do. You know, in our system of government, You're supposed to be innocent until you are proven guilty, not guilty until you're proven innocent. And so if you can be declared guilty or potentially guilty before you even lift a finger, that is bordering on thought crime. That is bordering on punishing people for pre-crime.
Yep.
That's crucial. I mean, you know, they're preparing for all sorts of things. I want to play something else for you real quick before we get started. I want to check this out, and I want you guys to just give it a minute, and I want you to listen to this, what they're expecting. This is another thing that they're expecting. Hold on. Here we go.
And there shall be signs in the sun.
Let me go back over here. But they have a news channel speech on the sun. Here we go.
And it happens about once every 11 years, and it takes about 3 or 4 months for it to complete that rotation. Here's how it affects us. When the sun flips, it sends a ripple effect kind of throughout the solar system. Astronomers call it a current sheet that radiates billions of miles away from the sun, just like kind of when you shake a blanket up and down, it ripples, becomes wavy. Well, while the Earth is orbiting the sun, we dip in and out of those waves. Now, the Earth doesn't really bounce around, but it does create some stormy space weather. Here's an expert. Listen.
Conditions in space are wildly different, and so many more sort of wild, crazy activities can take place in space that are perfectly normal for that environment, but certainly couldn't take place here, and we wouldn't want them to take place here.
No, we would not want them to take place here. Normally, we would be able to see a lot of solar flares, kind of like what you're seeing there, but so far during this flip, man, you know, not so much. Now, we do get a little benefit from this flip. It provides kind of some shielding from the dangerous cosmic rays, you know, the high-energy particles that zip around the universe, and they can damage satellites. They can also affect astronauts who happen to be up in space at the time. So we get some protection there, but the magnetic field is switching, and so we gently kind of go into a new phase of the thing that provides life for all of us on this planet.
Now, what does that mean? It says when the sun starts doing its thing and it starts to spitting out solar flares and things, it could knock us off the grid. Then what?
I would be more worried about that. I mean, I would... see, that's something that we cannot even... there's nothing that we can do about it. But these guys, man, that's literally doing things to destroy us, you understand, they going to have to pay, man, you understand? And I know that the Almighty is not going to let them get away with what they're doing. He's not going to do it, you understand? We was only here for a punishment, you understand, not to be totally annihilated.
No, sir, and they done went there. Let's check it out. Here we go. We're going to give a minute.
Same time. You're going to see the entire nation break down.
The Internet has really ripped off the veil and shown what's going on at the highest levels of power in the U.S., and they openly turned their guns against the American people. And now they have a military command that's aimed at the U.S. in blatant violation of Posse Comitatus that says that the U.S. military cannot be used in the U.S. against American citizens. That's been thrown out the window now. And they're openly militarizing the police, having the police work with the U.S. military in violation of Posse Comitatus. And they appear to be getting ready for some kind of civil war, some kind of to intern people. We're in a really dangerous time here in the U.S. The guns of the military are now turned against the American people in a way that just never happened before in history. And these hollow point bullets are illegal to use in warfare. And yet DHS wants these huge numbers of them. You know, they have more than enough to kill off the entire population of times.
The hollow point expands on impact to almost 3 times its size. The expanding effect means that the bullet dumps its power inside the body, damaging more tissue. A larger wound means a greater chance of hitting an organ, cutting nerves, or severing an artery.
It's quite worrisome. I know a lot of people who are getting out of the U.S., and maybe they're the smart ones.
Nationwide protests, hunger strikes, and sit-ins are currently sweeping the United States, notes the website Popular Resistance. But with a corporate media blackout of any news that threatens their paymasters, a more realistic portrait of America today, maybe at the cinema.
Well, Chattanooga SWAT team now has a new tool to fight crime. A joint grant paid for the Lenco Bearcat for area police. The new armored truck will help law enforcement save lives.
Keene City Councilor Mitchell Greenwald supports the $285,000 federal grant that would buy a Lenco armored vehicle similar to one of these. In fact, the city council already approved it.
The Bearcat has several features designed to help law enforcement. It can fit 10 to 12 fully equipped SWAT members inside. There are slots to shoot chemical agents out of, spotlights, and a faster response time. An outside intercom system allows negotiators to work closer to the action.
Look, guys. The fact of the matter is that while police may still be overstepping their authority in the same way they did 50 or 60 years ago, they certainly look a hell of a lot different now. Imagine this scenario. You're sitting in your house, you're kicking back, you're watching TV, and all of a sudden you hear the deafening sound of machine gun fire from low-flying helicopters overhead. You'd probably be a little startled. Hell, you might even think that World War III was going down. Well, the black helicopters flying above might not come as a surprise if you live right here in D.C., but if you live in any other U.S. city, this probably isn't north. But that could be changing. Take a look at what happened in Miami last week.
Happening now in downtown Miami, Black Hawk choppers soaring through the night sky, but this is only a drill. My team's Mike Martin has some pictures for us explaining what's going on. Mike? Still, if you've seen one of these drills, it really is like a scene out of one of those action movies, choppers stalking the sky in downtown Miami and the like.
Same kind of drill is going on in Houston.
With military helicopters flying above her southeast Houston neighborhood, Frances Gerald didn't know what to think.
Now, when you see this, you think the worst.
Right.
When you hear this, you think the worst.
And so she passed along her concern.
She told me, don't come home, because it sounded like we're in a war zone. Guns shooting and helicopters flying around over the house.
So all of this really begs the question, why is the U.S. starting to condition us to be comfortable living in a constant state of fear, surveillance, and military aggression? What are they really planning for?
And I can tell you right now, well, somebody had the great idea to get rid of the Iraqi army, so when we rebuilt it, we did everything we could to make it as strong as possible. And I'll tell you right now, Homeland Security would kick their butts in a week. What's happening here is we're building a domestic military because it's unlawful or unconstitutional to use American troops on American soil. So what we're doing is we're building a military. My best friend, who's a SWAT officer in Nashua, who came to Iraq with me to train the Iraqi police, sent me an email with a picture of him in the media on the streets of Watertown, Mass., wearing the exact same combat gear that we had in Iraq.
What about that?
I'm not sure. I couldn't understand what they were saying. I'm sorry.
Basically, what he was saying is now they're using helicopters that they use in military combat to fly over the cities to do surveillance and to do training to be prepared for this civil unrest.
Ooh, they just
they
preparing everything. They're getting all their eggs in a row. You
sure,
understand?
And when they close it down and they shut it down, it's going to be shut down. And you know what? I was talking to someone that was a part of the Nation of Yehuda, and we were talking about the communication. If the grid goes down, the cell phones go down. So what are we going to use? And then we thought about CB radios, because CB radios been around a long time.
Yeah. Well, that's a good alternative. Yeah, you understand? You know. If they don't have your handle, they can't get in touch. They can't come into your conversation either.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you think about that. And I looked on Amazon, and they sell them pretty cheap. So, I mean, you know, they have them on there. You know, we can still get some and make sure we order what we need. You know, or FM transmitters. You know, all of the things that go back to the normal way of communicating that might be able to help us. Now, you know, we got to be able to talk. We got to have a plan in place for people, family plans, for people who are, you know, our families are all over in different locations, what to do in the event of this, how will we get back to where we need to go, and how do we get back to one another. So this is the reason for the show. This is the reason why the Most High put it on our heart to have this show, to be able to prepare our people all over the world. Because Because this is going to be worldwide in a minute.
That is correct. Absolutely.
Now check this out.
Welcome back, everybody. We've just received new video of the Israeli Air Force strike Peter Ducey mentioned earlier in our show. The Air Force struck down an unmanned aircraft flying over their airspace. Now, officials are saying they are still trying to figure out where the drone came from. The Israeli Defense Force tells Fox News it did not come from Gaza. The drone was not carrying any weapons. It appears to have been for monitoring and intelligence gathering purposes right now. That's what we know.
Now you will know MiG-29, the distinguished twin tail marking of...
And it may be hard to hear him, but basically what they're saying is that somebody sent a drone over Israel to get information, and Israel shot it down.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
And check this out. And they're getting ready to do this, and they're doing this to us.
Yep. Yep.
Even more than his predecessor. A close call at one of the nation's busiest airports has a lot of people looking at a new danger in the sky. Anyone in the country can buy a small, remote-controlled drone. They're soaring in popularity. But what happens if a passenger plane has to dodge one on landing?
Listen to this cockpit audio recording as a pilot on an Alitalia flight literally can't believe what he's seeing.
So what did he say? We saw a drone aircraft.
The Alitalia flight was on its final approach to JFK International Airport Monday afternoon when the pilot saw the unidentified object.
Alitalia, what altitude did you see that aircraft? About 1,500.
The pilot did not take evasive action and the flight landed safely. Air traffic control shared their information with other incoming flights.
Report of a drone aircraft, 5 mile final, 1,500 feet. Use caution, runway 318, search land.
Clear to land. We'll look for the drone. We're slowing to 180 knots, JetBlue 906.
Drones are small, unmanned, remote-controlled flying objects. Their non-military use is increasing as new technology makes them applicable for reconnaissance and surveillance. The FAA is investigating the incident.
What about that?
Yep, they letting that drone thing get out of hand. See, that technology, everybody can get it now. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Seen something on TV where they could... They could, if your window's open, they could fly one right on in your window and let it sit on top of one of your high shelves, and they hear everything that you know, that you say. You understand? You know. And then when you're not looking or when you're not aware, they fire on out. You understand? You know. And the thing about Israel, man, you know, I mean, those Israelis, you understand what I'm saying? They are the culprit to a lot of things that's going on. You understand? And they can do stuff, you know, and see, because they're connected to the United States, you understand, they have so much of a connection, you understand, the United States is overlooking everything that they're doing. And that's why the other nations hate the United States, those Eastern nations for sure, hate the United States because they jump on the side of those Israelis, you understand, and... You know, and they allow them to do everything that they've been doing, man, to them Palestinians and all around the world. They into everything. They infiltrate a whole lot of nations right here, and they cause stuff to happen. They of the mindset of divide and conquer. They divide the nations so that they could conquer.
Evidently, it looks like our government is under that same concept. I mean, because it's like either you roll with us or we're going to roll over on you. I mean, real talk. I mean, you know, it's a lot going on. We're going to try area code 321 one more time. Area code 321, you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello? Okay, we're going to put him back on mute. I don't know what's going on with that, but we won't deal with that anymore. But, you know, we're just bringing information to the table. You know, we're letting everybody know what's ahead of you. You know, if we need to start preparing, you know, it's wonderful to have agricultural and to be able to grow your own food. But if everybody else is hungry, you're going to have a hard time guarding that food that you got out there in that dirt because they're going to come looking for food. People come looking for food and water.
Yep.
It's
going to be a difficult time, man. Ooh-wee. You understand? But we could be able to deal with it if we come together and let's brainstorm. Let's find out how we can make this work for us. You understand?
I just wanted to make an announcement. We have one of our brothers on the line, and he's from Japan.
All right.
How about that? The Yehuda Project is growing, and he is from Japan, and I'm going to ask him, we need your email address. Look at how the Most High is expanding this thing.
That is correct.
This is serious business. I mean, the word is getting out there. We have people from Japan on the line. You know, yep. We'd like for, all those who want to come on the conference call, please feel free to do that. So we can start discussing things. And you can feel free to call. I think we have a number for Japan. I'm going to have to look that number up for you. That you can call. Actually, you can call in free and be a part of the conference call.
Okay.
This is what's happening. I mean, the Most High is bringing, all of our brothers and sisters from Japan. And we got somebody here from Japan.
I hear you. Hallelujah.
Yes, I mean, really.
I'm elated. I'm overwhelmed. I believe in the Almighty, you understand, that He will make things happen for us. We just got to do what we got to do, man. We got to get all the information that we possibly can so we can survive. You understand?
That's right.
Let's help our children survive. If we set stuff up, even if we don't be here, they'll be able to make it. You understand? It's going to be a struggle. I don't care how we do it, but they'll have a little softer time for sure if we set stuff up.
Absolutely. I have no doubt about that. And it's our responsibility to do that, and it's our responsibility to stay focused because guess what? We're the elders. And like I said, we got to figure out something. I mean, because it's going to get bad, and we even got to try to do something for those people that's not paying attention.
Yeah. Well, we can't be so concerned about them until we get stuff in place. We have to put things in place. We worry about them, man. We lose focus.
It's real serious business. We really need as much help as we can get, And we're trying to gather all of our sisters and brothers together.
Yep. And we gotta be an asset rather than a liability at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now the powers that be think that we a liability, man. We expendable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Lars, we expendable.
Sir,
we can get rid of a couple of hundred million. They got a thing out right now, man. We need to get rid of 40 million people inside of 10 years or something like that, I think they said. Or 400 million, huh?
I said absolutely.
Yeah. They said get rid of, you understand, we got 2 million people that's eating, man. We got to get rid of some of these folks. What I don't understand is I couldn't be president because there's nothing in this world that could make me say what he said. You understand? I'm telling you. You understand? That was a, how could you have what kind of heart do you have for the people you talking about, man, indefinite incarceration? Come on.
Sir, they
didn't have to do anything. I couldn't be president. They couldn't get me to say nothing like that.
But guess what? That just lets you know that there's an agenda and that he's going to make sure that agenda is being followed.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But him being a black man and knowing that his father was an African, you understand? How could he come out of his mouth with stuff like that?
But he doesn't consider himself to be, I saw a clip where he actually went to Guyana, where the castle is, where the door of no return was, and he made it very clear that that was not his story. That's not his story. That's Michelle's heritage and generation and the story of her ancestors. That's not the story of his ancestors. He made that very clear. So he does not consider himself to be the son of a slave.
Mm-mm-mm. It don't make no difference. Let me go a step further in what you just said. See, those people touched everybody's lives. You understand? When they brought them slaves over here, everybody that they left over there, their life was disrupted by that too.
Well, he don't feel that way. I mean, he does not feel like
you.
The story is his story. He'll tell you. He was interviewing, I think, with CNN. And he made that very clear, you know, because they asked him, they said, well, how do you feel? Matter of fact, let me try to pull the clip up. And they said, how did you feel about having this experience? And he said, well, this is actually not my experience. You know, this is Michelle's experience that she's having.
Yep, okay. You understand? You got to pay. There's no doubt about it. No doubt in my mind that you ain't going to pay. You understand? That stuff that he's talking, boy, I just couldn't get to, they just couldn't get me to say nothing like that.
I said, yeah, he made that very clear when he did the interview. As a matter of fact, let me see if I have it right here. Let me see what I can pull it up and see if we can get him to say it real quick.
I'm Anderson Cooper in Cape Coast, Ghana, and this is a special edition of 360, President Obama's African Journey. We're coming to you from Cape Coast Castle, one of several fortresses along the West African coast, through which an estimated 10 to 40 million enslaved Africans were shipped off to the New World, many of those, of course, ending up in America. The president came here as part of a presidential trip, his first presidential trip to sub-Saharan Africa, but it's also a trip that is in many ways deeply personal for President Obama. It's a journey that encompasses both the politics of today and the still painful memories of our past.
As you walk around this council, look at your own.
Well, obviously.
Now pay attention to what he say, everybody. Listen to what he said.
It's a powerful moment for not just myself, but I think for Michelle and the girls. I'm reminded of the same feeling I got when I went to Buchenwald with Elie Wiesel. You know, you almost feel as if the walls can speak, and that you try to project yourself into these incredibly harrowing moments that people go through.
How'd you explain it to Sasha Malia?
Well, you try to explain that people were willing to degrade others because they appeared differently, and you tried to actually get them to engage in the imaginative act of what it would be like if they were snatched away from mom and dad and sent to some place they had never seen before. But, part of what you also try to do with kids is to get them to imagine themselves on the other side as being the slave merchant. And that slave merchant might have loved their children and gone to that place of worship up right above the dungeon, and get them to make sure that they're constantly asking themselves questions about whether they're treating people fairly and whether they are examining their own behavior and how it affects others.
That's something you referenced actually during the campaign in your speech on race about your own wife, about Ms. Obama. You said that she has like the blood of slaves and also slave owners.
Right.
How did she respond to this behavior?
I haven't had the chance to process it yet. I think we were both listening and talking.
Did you hear what he said?
I was trying to figure out what he said. What did he say when he said you have to be on the other side of the slave merchant?
He was trying to make a point to pacify the guy that was interviewing him, and he babbled about something about you have to make a point to understand how it feels to be the slave master. And while they had a church over the top of the dungeon, were you able to treat the people fairly because I guess because you went to church. And then the guy on CNN said, well, you have made reference to the fact that Michelle has the blood of slave, of a slave and of the slaves that came from this area. And then he went to mumble on. He does not consider himself to be a part of the transatlantic slave trade. His father came here on an educational visa from wherever he's from in Africa. His mother is of Jewish descent.
Yeah. Well, the thing is you know, that everybody, every African on that continent was affected by the slave trade, whether they came over here on slips, ships or not. You understand? Some of them families, you understand, lost loved ones, and they stayed in Africa. So they was affected whether they whether or not. Now, here's a man, I mean, so his father is an African. You understand? That's documented. You understand? So how, you know, see, the thing is that I'm trying to figure out is how could he want to enslave people and take them captive with no chance of going to court or anything, because that's what they're saying. They're saying that any kind of petition for to find out where you at is going to be disallowed. You understand? So how can he say on one hand, you understand, whether people were being treated fairly, and then on the other hand, do what he's saying, locking people up? Come on, man. I'm telling you, I am really upset with that boy.
But you know what? My brother said from Japan, he said he may not have been a part of the actual slaves, but he may have been a part of the tribes that facilitated the sale of us. And that's a good point to make.
Okay, but that's neither here nor there. You understand? They were affected, even though they, you know, see, he won't be able to never tell that, because that's so far down the road, you understand, that's not recognizable. You understand what I'm saying? What we are doing here is we're giving him more clout on things that we will never find out about. You understand? We're saying that possibly he could have been on the other side of it, the slave owners and the ones that saved that sold us into slavery. We're giving him more. See, there was 110 million slaves taken out of Africa. The fat
right.
chance of that happening, of his father being a part of the people that enslaved us.
Or not enslaved us, but sold us. He's part of the African tribes that.
But that's what I'm saying. Sold us. That's a fat chance. 100 out of 100 million slaves. You understand? He can claim that his father was the one that sold us. That's just as bad, if not worse. Hallelujah.
Let me tell you all the name of this clip, so you can go to YouTube. It says it's called President Obama in Ghana at Camp Coast Dungeons, Part 1 and Part 2. President Obama in Ghana at the Cape Coast Dungeons, Part 1 and 2. And there he's being interviewed by the man on CNN, and these are the things that he's saying. And I also want to let everyone know we have about 3 minutes before we go into overtime. If you're going to call in, the time is now. You will not be able to do that. You know, if you don't call in for the chat board, I will still be able to chat just as long as you're on the board, but after 5:30, nobody else will be able to call in. And the person from Japan said that's his point. He's disconnected from the process. He does not process as a part of us, and he's not a part of the part of us, but the fact that he's a man of color, he's experiencing some of the racism that we've experienced, but he still is not a part of the process that we have to go through.
Yeah, I understand perfectly. I know that his head is stuck up his butt. You understand what I'm saying? But I would never, in my, if I was president, I would never say that. You understand? Say what he said, and then turn around and want to lock us up. You understand, after being black and suffering some of that degradation that we've been suffering. You understand? You know, First of all, you understand, you are guilty by what you say out your mouth.
Yes, sir. and the terrible part about it is the fact that, you know, we were, like they said, they put a man of color up there, and we were like, oh, finally a black president. We got a black president. But he made it very clear that he's the people's president. He does not directly relate to the struggles that we feel as the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade. You know, he doesn't have an issue with land. He knows mm-hmm. where he's from. He knows, you know, that he's from Africa, what part he's from, and everything else. So, you know, when you talk about compassion, you have to be there in order to understand what it feels like.
Yep. He's gonna have to be touched with some of this racism too. You understand? Now, I mean, he's being touched, you know, when people up in Congress, him giving him a hard time, you understand? You know, that's just a little touch. He can evade some of that stuff being president. But wait till he be not president. That's when it's going to really sink in, you understand? But that's not going to even be, you know, that's not going to do him any good anyway, because his head is already, you know, he's spinning around. I knew that he couldn't do nothing. I was just happy to see a black president just to start some mess. That's all.
That's true.
I knew he couldn't do nothing, man, because they got a policy already set up, man. You understand? You can, you know, every time, you know, let me see, John Lewis and all of those guys that wanted to try to get into politics and wanted to be part of the government, they was full up, man. You know, Cynthia McKinney, you understand? She was the only black that I seen, and she was a woman, you understand, that stuck to her guns. The rest of them, man, you understand, they knuckled under and took the pay, you understand? You know, because, see, what happens is they be all zealous stuff, you understand, and they go there and they try to change things and find out, man, the policy is already set up. They can't do nothing. They ain't going to be able to do nothing. You know what they do? They take the money. They get right in line to take the money like everybody else. Only person that I seen didn't do that was Cynthia McKinney.
You know, and those are the issues that we have to deal with. We have to understand that the compassion, we still don't get no compassion. The captivity is real. The curse is real. And everything is real and is going to play out. And the scripture says, and no man, in Deuteronomy 28:68, it says, no man shall buy you. No man shall save you. Nobody's going to save us. It's not going to be a president. It's not going to be a king. It's not going to mm-hmm. be nobody but the Most High that is going to turn our captivity so that there's a difference.
That is correct. And I was just reading the scriptures the other day, and it said, and I'm a Zephaniah follower. he said that he was going to turn our captivity right before our eyes. And guess what? We was in this chattel slavery, man, where they beat and chained and chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered us. Now we are not in that. They took the chains off the leg and they put it on the minds. Now, what we're doing here is we are our own worst enemy at this point. We can do something about ourselves. We have a problem with ourselves. We, you know, now, you understand what I'm saying? We need to start working on, we have the opportunity to start working on ourselves because we're not being in that chattel slavery no more. And that's part of what the Almighty has done. He's changed, he's turned the captivity in our eyes. Now, I'm sure that there's some more work that needs to be done. We need to work on ourselves a lot. You understand? That's what I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not sure.
We got people calling in from all over the world now on the chat lines, calling in from the four corners of the earth, and they're all over the world, you know, and we just have to get to the point where we're ready to handle the overflow of people that are coming because they are coming to identify themselves as a part of Israel. And who are we to say they're not?
That is correct. You're absolutely right. Here's one thing that's been troubling me, you understand, is that we sit up here and we say, oh, we Israel, but we don't know who's Israel. Just because we say that don't mean that we are. You understand? I mean, I would like to think that when I say that I'm a Hebrew Israelite and a Judite, you understand, I feel that in my heart, but I don't know that to be no fact. And we don't know the Pan-African might be a part of they might be part Hebrew. Remember, when we came here, 88% of those people that set foot in this continent, you understand, was Hebrew Israelites. But we cannot prove that. How can we prove it? Hallelujah.
All right, we got area code 513. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, Shalom, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, hey, Shalom, this is Yahshua. How you doing, Adoniah?
Shalom, Yahshua, how are you?
Shalom.
Good, I was listening, and then I heard you play the clip dealing with Obama going to the west coast of Africa, and I had an opportunity to go there, but I didn't make it. But I have a couple of friends that actually went there and visited the site and everything, and they had told me, like, even when you go there right now today, when you walk in there, it's just a foul smell that you could smell all through there. It's almost like the stench from what happened, you know, hundreds of years ago is still there. When you walk in the place, it's just a foul smell and like an eerie feeling, you know what I mean? So that was just kind of a touch to me that I heard from some people that went there a couple of years back. But some more research that I've done on that place and everything, they called it actually at that time when they were going to the west coast of Africa and bringing over the slaves. It was actually called, I don't remember the exact name, but it was something Yehuda. It was something to do with, like, the word Yehuda was in it. And basically, from the documentary that I watched on it and everything, it was just basically verifying that the people that they were selling, that the black Africans were selling to the white man and bringing to the Western Hemisphere, whether they dropped us off in Jamaica, Cuba, North America, South America, what have you, just by them calling it was something like the market of Yehuda or something to that effect. They were letting us know that they knew who they were actually getting. They knew the race of people or the tribe of people that they were getting just by naming it Yehuda. That was something that I think a lot of people didn't really recognize, that they actually called that place. I don't remember the exact name, but it was something Yehuda. So that's just another verification of they knew who they were bringing to the Western Hemisphere. Therefore, they wanted to cut us off as soon as they brought us over here. They took our babies from us. We can't teach our own religion. We can't teach our own language or anything. So it's something I wanted to throw in as well.
I appreciate that. You know what? So, and I'll leave your mic open. What's so powerful, though, is, you know, like I said, we're gathering now from all over the world, because last week we had Haiti on the line. We had Israel on the line. Well, who else did we have on the line last week? Was it Brazil? Brazil was on the line last week, and now we got somebody from Japan on the line. So they're coming now from over the world, connecting with us from all over the world, and this is powerful. I mean, this is really powerful to the point where it's like, wow, the Most High is just using different channels to be able to connect people from all over the world, and it's time now for us to do that. So when you look at Israel, Israel's not just going to be a black nation or a light-skinned nation or a light-brown nation. You're going to have people from all over the world coming out of all of the countries all over the world with identifying features of the places that they've been, but they know their bloodline and that they're Hebrew Israelite. That's powerful right there.
Yeah. Adoni, I wanted to tell you, you understand, I appreciate your input, and I appreciate it if you kept, when you get on, if you got any information, we sure could use it. You know what I'm saying? And I want you to keep calling and keep listening.
Oh, no
yes,
problem.
Sir. I mean, you know, Brother Yahshua is very, 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 this brother is one of the best teachers that, in my opinion, in the Cincinnati area, in Ohio area, that I mean, when you break down the word. So, you know, we count it an honor, you know, that you're even on the show. You know, and that you're giving the input, because it's very important that we come together. It's time to come together now, because it is getting ready to get off the chain. They are preparing. Now we have to prepare. We have to prepare. We have to know how to prepare food. We have to know how to prepare water. We have to have some sort of communication system in place for us to be able to communicate with one another and do the necessary things that we need to necessarily do. And what I was saying earlier, Brother Yahshua, I don't know whether you heard or not, but what we're afraid of is, and you and I have had this conversation many times, about the Messianic and the non-Messianic issue. And we tried for over a year to get people to come together just under the common cause of being a Hebrew Israelite so that we can move in the direction that we're supposed to move in. And Brother Donia and I are a testimony that, you know, the two different groups can come together and can unite on a common cause of survival. So, you know, we're trying to build this camaraderie so that we can be able to feed ourselves. No matter what you believe in, you should be able to eat.
That is correct. You understand? See, we can't keep this divide, you understand, on nonsense. You understand? Right now, we don't know nothing. We still struggling on who's who and what's what. And the language and everything, you understand? So that's going to stop us from getting together and building something so that we can eat every day. And it's going to get so rough out here, man, we can't imagine. Not in our wildest dreams can we imagine that this would happen. But it is going to happen because the Creator said so. He said, if you look in Zephaniah, he said that he was going to shake this whole place up. You understand? He was going to bring destruction and desolation. Whew. Imagine that.
We're here now. I mean, you know, and that is the most crucial part about all of it. We are definitely here now. You know, it's time to put differences aside, issues aside, and be able to say, hey, you know, I'm growing tilapia or whatever, or I've started to raise chickens or whatever. And a matter of fact, I know here in Ohio, you can get chickens for like 89 cents, baby chicks. And they say it takes about maybe maybe 3 months for them to grow into full-blown chickens where they actually lay eggs and do all that. For those who eat that kind of stuff, we do have a hatchery here. I'll get the name of it for you in a few minutes so that I can announce that. They will ship you chickens to you. And they do not cost that much. I mean, I'm telling you, these are the things that you can put in your backyard. I mean, you can build a chicken coop and put it in your backyard, and at least you'll have eggs. And then, you know, my grandmother said, you know, if you get hungry enough, you'll sling that chicken's neck and dip them down in hot water and pull them feathers off and cut it up and have you some chicken. I mean, because she said when they grew up, they didn't have Krogers, where you could go to Kroger's and it was neatly packaged up. When that chicken walked around that field, you knew at one point you was going to eat him.
I know that's right.
Minute, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, it's just that's the way it was. And we have to be able to deal with it the way it is. And I'm going to get that information for you right now because you can call them and they will send you the chickens that you want.
Right. All the chickens that you eat anyway, somebody had to kill it. Either you killed it or somebody else killed it.
Absolutely. And then it's definitely something that we got to start looking into getting just to sustain ourselves. And this, I'm going to give you guys the website. It's www.mount, and that's M-T, healthy, H-E-L, I mean, I'm sorry, healthy.com. And that is the Mount Healthy Hatchery Incorporated Poultry Chicks. They got ducks and chickens. And you can buy them as babies, and then they will grow up, and they're only $2. I mean, some of them is $3. And they have so many different species that when she began to ask me, well, what kind do you want? And I was like, well, what kind do you have? You know, and she said, we have multiple different kinds. You have to kind of know what you want and what kind of chickens you want. And then my thing to her was, well, what do you sell the most of? Because I've never done this before. And you know, she began to explain it to me. And they've been in business for 80 years. So, I mean, you know, these are some of the things that we need to really start looking into in terms of getting some stuff for us. And you'll be able to get the things that you need to safeguard yourself. They have an email address, and it's info@mt, HEALTHY.com. And their phone number is 800-451-5603. And you know what? Give them a call. I mean, you know, because these are the things that we need to start paying attention to. You know, where we live here in Ohio, we live in farm country, so there's a lot of things that we have access to. I know some of the brothers have started their own beehives, and they're producing their own honey from the beehives. So, I mean, it's a whole lot of things that the Hebrews are getting involved in, and it's a powerful thing.
Yeah. You know, didn't you say you was going to set up a newsletter, a newspaper?
Yes, sir. I already have one. It's called The Seventh Seal. We will start sending that back out again the 1st of February. If you want to be a part of the Seventh Seal newsletter, please email us at the Yehuda Project at gmail.com. The Yehuda Project. Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H dot project, P-R-O-J-E-C-T dot at gmail.com. Email us and let us know you want to be a part of the newsletter, and we'll get all that together. But, you know, it doesn't cost that much to have a beehive.
Yeah. Well, you know, the reason I asked that question is because I thought you was putting together, you know, a Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, and those things need to go in that newsletter or Chamber of Commerce letter or pamphlet or whatever. You understand? All of those things like that we need to, you know, see, because I probably could build a chicken coop, you understand, but cooking has never been my forte.
But that's okay. You know what? That's okay, because you can still use the chicken for eggs, and I'm sure you could take that chicken somewhere and let somebody else do whatever they need to do to get it with an edible condition for you if you get hungry enough. I bet you if you get hungry enough, you'll be able to do what you need to do. But, I mean, we don't want it to have to come to that, but I'm telling y'all, they are preparing for civil unrest. They are preparing for food to be a shortage. You know, grain. I was researching today where they said you can get a 50-pound bag of grain for like $20. You know, these are the things, and then you got to be able to know how to store the grain. You know, so you'll be able to do certain things with the grain. Flour, we need to get plenty of flour because, you know, if you got flour, you can make bread. You can make, it's just a way that we have to do these things, and we have to start preparing.
Yeah. Well, you know what? One thing that we have to understand is that they did a lot more eating of bread in ancient times than they did a whole lot of cooking of meat and stuff.
My grandma and them didn't. They ate meat. They had a cow, and they had eggs.
They may have meat, but they did a lot of cooking of bread, and they did a lot of gelatins and stuff like that, I'm sure.
And also, you know what, we have farms here where you can buy half the cows, and you can buy a side of beef and all those things for those people who don't live in those communities. You can order them, and they will ship them to you. And I will get that information for you as well. We got a brother in California that has non-GMO seeds, where you can actually get seeds that have not been genetically altered, and he's a Hebrew Israelite. We have another brother up in Detroit that's growing tilapia fish, and that you can actually go to where they are and be able to purchase fresh homegrown fish if you would like that. So there are things that we can start doing to provide resources for ourselves and get some seeds, some real seeds, and begin to grow some real food as much as we can, and then learn how to can the food.
Yeah. Sure you are. Yeah.
We got to learn. That's the only way we're going to survive is we learn. And I know we got some elderly ladies on this line or some people that have been around a while that knows how to do this kind of stuff. We got to start doing this stuff. And then we were also talking about duffel bags and survival kits. We went on Amazon and found out that you can get one of those military-issued duffel bags. They got them for $20, you know, and you can just start packing a duffel bag and make sure you got a gallon of water and then certain things that you need for survival in the event that you can't come back to your house.
That is correct.
So we always trying to find ways and solutions to be able to help our people. And, you know, this ain't going to never be about love and hip-hop. We're not on that. We're trying to get our people prepared for the things that are about to happen and get our people ready, because we have people out there that's got little bitty kids. And, you know, when you have children and you got to carry kids with you, that takes an organization. You got to be organized to be able to move and do what you need to do.
That is
like
correct.
Like I said,
that
CB radios, we need to start getting some CB radios, some FM transmitters, to be able to transmit on certain channels and speak to each other in the event the grid goes down. These are the things that have to be happening. Brother Yahshua, you want to make any other suggestions or things that we need to learn how to do?
I wanted to throw this in. I don't remember exactly how the scripture says it, but I'm just kind of paraphrasing from my own words. But it's a scripture that says something to this effect. Like, the children of the world are wiser than the children of the kingdom. And okay.
We can't hear you. Say that again.
Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
We can hear you now.
Okay. It says something to the effect, the children of the world are wiser than the children of the kingdom. And it's not dealing on a spiritual aspect, is dealing with on a physical aspect in many things. And when I look at that, like a lot of things you're saying now, if you just go to YouTube, you can see thousands of videos. You can punch in when SHIT, I won't say the word, but SHIT hit the fan. It's like people all around this country making videos talking about, like, when everything goes wrong, when stuff hit the fan, when it's a race war, when martial law and all this stuff. And they're putting out videos about how they arming themselves, they're stocking up food and water and, you know, all type of stuff, kind of like the show. What is that show called? It's called When People Prepare for Doomsday, pretty much. But a lot of people that are pretty much following the Most High, trying to live a righteous life, they're not really prepared for any of this stuff. But the majority of the people, well, not the majority, but many people in America, they don't even profess any type of belief in the Most High. And even the Most High about all these things were going to scripture. But they're preparing for this stuff now. Well, why aren't we preparing for it? The masses of our people are not preparing for it, you know. And I think that that's a good thing to prepare for it. It's a good thing to try to figure out now what you can, how you can do all these things. So when the time comes, you know, you'll be able to take care of yourself, be able to eat, be able to, you know, survive. So I think that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, because everybody in the whole world, they're preparing for civil unrest. The whole FEMA, the martial law, the laws that are passed, the National Emergency Center Act, and the, what was the other act they had, the Violent Radicalization Act, which is going to stop the brothers on the street corners from preaching on the street corners, and they're going to lock them up because they're going to consider them to be terrorists against America, because, you know, some of our brothers on the street corners is professing that America is going to eventually be destroyed by Yah and all that, and they're going to consider that to be rhetoric and religious rhetoric, and they're going to begin to try to lock them up in concentration camps, and they're just going to disappear. Ain't that right, Donnie? Because according to what we just saw today, they're going to be disappeared and detained for an undisclosed amount of time, and nobody will know where they're at or how they hold them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I don't see why this is so far-fetched to everybody, because this is what America been doing all around the world to other countries. It just hasn't come
to
America yet. That's what they did when they went to what do you think they did to Saddam Hussein? What do you think they did to all around the world for the past, you know, 30, 40, maybe more years? Just look at their history. They've been doing this all around the world. So, like Malcolm X said, you know, I mean, one day the chicken's going to come home to roost, and it's going to be the same thing here.
And that's where we are right now. And whether we like it or not, we have a responsibility to prepare and to be able to feed ourselves until the Most High gives us instructions as to where to go and what to do and how to get there. So, you know, that's what we don't want. We do not want any organizations that are competing. We don't want any organizations that think they're going to be running the show, because there are many organizations around the world that are Hebrew Israelites, Messianic and non-Messianic alike, that we have to figure out, come to grips, that our one thing we have in common is our nationality and the ability to survive, and that's what we got to focus on. Because I'm telling you something, the disbelief or the things that distance us when it comes to belief, oh, that's going to be settled anyway because it's going to either be this, either A going to take place or B going to take place.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
You know B was wrong. And if B take place, you know A was wrong. And that's going to settle the score. So when we got to focus on getting our families to the point where we don't starve to death.
That is correct. You understand? See, I wanted to weigh in and say that we can't wait till the last minute. We've been waiting till the last minute. The train already left the station. You understand? Right. It's bearing down on us heavily. You understand? So we need to try to. We can't be the last nation to start trying to get stuff off the shelves. You understand? Everything gone.
That's right.
Everybody else done did it.
It ain't gonna be no food at the grocery store. It ain't gonna be no medicine to get from nobody. You're gonna have to find a doctor that'll be willing to let you pay him to give you what you need because you ain't gonna just be able to walk up into the hospital and say, okay, well, I need some service. They're gonna be like, well, where's your chip? Or let me see whether or not you and I are sisters. And if you're nationality, well, I'm a Hebrew Israelite, oh, well, we know where you're going. They're gonna make a phone call, push a button, they're gonna come get you.
And they slipped that cyanide to pill in on you. Because we depend on those folks. We depend on all, too many people that is not for us. We depend on them. For what?
We do. Absolutely no doubt.
Tell you something, man. We have been so far away from cooking. I mean, not cooking. Planning our own grocery. You understand? They got everything on the shelf. They got all kinds of stuff, man, to keep us from going to plant our own goods. You understand?
Sure.
I mean, and they got a pill for this and a pill for that. You understand?
So
you understand? So, you understand, when we going to pull our heads out of our cardio and start working and doing something for our own self? Because them things that they got for us, man, is not for us. It may be all right with their stomach, but our stomachs is different. We have a different makeup of a person.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So, you understand? And see, I can't say more that we cannot keep waiting on the last minute.
Hi,
I'm
going to
get off the phone here so I can get back on the phone later on. I got to let this phone battery charge up, you understand? And I'll call y'all on the conference line.
All right, sounds like a plan. And we're going to wrap it up anyway. We're getting ready to wrap it up for everybody. And, you know, my co-host has had to disconnect himself. But we just want to say to everybody, you know, that we are really, really happy to the fact that we're able to do this for now and to be able to get this information out. But please don't be under the misconception that they don't know we're doing this too. Any avenue that we use to get information to our people eventually will be shut down. Eventually they will shut this down. So, you know, we don't want to waste this time on foolishness. We want to be able to use this time as effectively as we possibly can to get these things done for us. And we want you all to please don't forget, we're having a conference call this evening for those who are interested in coming together in Atlanta. We're going to do a think tank for us to get together and actually bring some information to the table, be able to get all our information out so that people know, you know, what we're planning on doing, and you're more than welcome to join our call. It is area code 559-726-1300, and the access code is 765-506. And we're gonna end up real quick here today to give everybody a chance to kind of breathe a little bit and take a breath and stretch your legs and get something to eat before we come on the conference call. I'm going to invite the brother that was on here from Japan to actually call into the conference call so that we can make a connection with him. And the brothers from Israel, the sister from Israel that was here last week, we're asking for them to update. Well, we have them coming on the show, on the call anyway tonight for the conference call, and then we'll see where we go from there. But it's expanding, it's building, it's growing, and that's what the Most High wants. Brother Yahshua, would you like to have any last words before we say so long?
No, that's it, sis. That's all I had.
All right. Well, in the meantime and in between time, we want to say shalom, shalom to everybody, and we will see you at 6:30 on the conference call. And thanks so much for calling in and being a part of our show.
Shalom.
affection to keep them strong. Moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city.
His hair is long, his feet are tall and pretty. His skin is like
All right, that ends our show for tonight. I hope you had a good time. We'll be here next week, same time, same place. We look forward to you on the conference call tonight. It's expanding. The Yehuda Project is reaching out to our brothers and sisters in Brazil. We have brothers and sisters in Cuba. We have brothers and sisters in Israel. Now we have connected with someone in Japan. So that means that it is moving and the Most High is bringing us together under one nation to be able, so that we will be able to be a light to the other nations. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom to everyone. This is Jaina Israel with another beautiful edition of the Yehuda Project. Shalom, shalom. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.